You are the source, Jesus. You are the source, Holy Spirit. Father, we like to hear from you. We do. We want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. This has been my prayer all week as I humble myself before you. I pray, Lord, I said, Father, we don't need another sermon. What have we done with the sermon last week? What did we do with the prescription the week before? Jesus, when you speak, do we listen? And right now, I just open up my heart and I pray, Father, that we would not be like some others who just hearing and listening or get caught up in some kind of tradition. We come to church, we sing, it's good. But yet there's a level of victory, there's a level of obedience that we can never get to. So Lord, we humble ourselves right now. I humble myself. I need you. I need you, Jesus. Sometimes we pray, you know, we say, speak for us, defend us. But today we say, speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would open our mind. Open our ears, Lord. Open our spiritual ears, Lord. Like Paul prayed in Ephesians, it says, I pray that your spiritual understanding would be open, that you would be able to discern. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would allow us, would give us grace to discern your will this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill us, God. Fill me, Lord. Let your presence overflow. Heal us. Heal our back pain, chronic pain, whatever the pain is, God, let your presence, let us encounter you, Jesus. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. Lord, I do not count on my experience, on the ability to teach, to preach. I do not count on past experience or even with the idea I can do it. I need you, Lord. I need you. We need you. These people need you. The church needs you. You're coming back, Lord. There is no time. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes so we can understand the hour, the time we're living in. God, Jesus, Lord, I pray, even as we've been studying about the wrath of God, the fear of the Lord, God, I pray for an increase of the fear of God in our lives. Lord, I pray for a decrease of the fear of men, even as I preach your word, teach your word. Lord, I pray that you'd remove from me every fear of men. Every fear of men, every thought of what people think about this, Lord, I pray that we here would remain true to the rhema of your word. Holy Spirit, you are here and we honor you. Even though sometimes we don't see it, but I know you're here. I know, Jesus, you're here and I honor you. I thank you for each of your daughters, your son here. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the work you're doing in their lives, Lord. I thank you that you're carrying them through. I thank you even right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're captivating their hearts. You are doing it, Father. You are doing it, Holy Spirit. You are doing it. Fill us with your presence, Lord. Come on, Lord. Create a deeper hunger, a deeper thirst. You know, when we come together, we would not so bind up in our own tradition. We were not so bind up in our own religion. But God, our hearts would burn. Our hearts would burn, Lord. Our hearts would burn with your presence. And as we go home, or as we go back to our, you know, regular activities, we'd be like, man, did you feel it? Did you sense it? Did you hear it? Let your presence fill this place. Let your glory consume every heart, every mind. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would reformat our mindset. Lord, I pray that you would, like your word says in Psalm, it says, search me, O Lord. Search us. Search this congregation. Holy Spirit, search them. Search these people, God. Search our hearts, Lord. Search our hearts. Search it. Shine your light deep, deep down there. Find where we're hurting. Find where we are burdened. Find where we need healing. Find where we need restoration. Find it, Lord. Find it, Jesus. Lord, I am so thankful for being in covenant with you and being in covenant with each other. Lord, I honor the spirit of covenant that's in this church. Lord, I thank you for the remnant people that has been here for years through it all. They never give up. They never give up. They remain in covenant. So this morning I reinforce the spirit of that spirit of covenant. I come against the spirit of division. I come against the spirit of orphan in the name of Jesus. I come against it. Come on, help me pray right now. I come against the spirit of division, the spirit that comes and divide. I come against the spirit of misunderstanding. I come up against the spirit of easily offended. People are so, I guess, childish in that area. Lord, I pray and I release an increase in the maturity in our character. Where we in the church, we are so easily offended. I come against the spirit of hypocrisy. Lord, I release the Holy Spirit. I release the spirit of light. I release the spirit of freedom in the name of Jesus. I release the spirit of freedom. I release the spirit of liberty. I release the spirit of love. I release the spirit of joy. I release the spirit of acceptance. I release the spirit of honor. So we live in a culture of honor where we honor each other. Jesus, I make room for you because I know when you show up, everything changes. God, when you show up, we can't remain the same. When you show up, things can't stay the same. Oh, Lord, I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. Holy Spirit, I make room for you that you would come and convict our hearts. I could preach. Many of us here could teach for years. But until you come and convict our hearts, we remain unchanged. Come, Lord Jesus. You are here. Come. We invite you in our hearts. I invite you in. I said, you know, just let your garment, let your fragrance, fill this room. Let your fragrance fill our hearts. Touch us, but allow us by faith to touch you as well. For it says in your word in Hebrews chapter 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. All who comes before God must first of all believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So Lord, we know you exist. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, we know you exist. We know that you reward people who sincerely seek you. This morning we pray, I pray in the name of your Son, that you would reward, you reward us as we come closer to you. Thank you for coming closer to us. You honor your word. You say we come closer, you come closer. So really the depth of our relationship with you, Father, depends on us. The closer we get to you, the closer you get to us, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd break our hearts for the things that breaks your heart. Lord, I pray that you would increase our spiritual hunger. You would increase our spiritual hunger. You would increase our spiritual thirst for righteousness, for holiness. You would increase our spiritual hunger for the word, God. Like when we eat, when we skip lunch, when we skip dinner, our body goes after food. Lord, I pray that you'd do the same thing in our spirit to a greater measure. To a greater measure, God. To a greater measure. To a greater measure. I banish the spirit of religion. I banish the spirit of stubbornness. God, sometimes we are so stubborn. Forgive us from being stone-hearted. Lord, I pray that you would work a miracle in our hearts so we humble ourselves. The word says you resist the pride, the proud. You resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. This morning, we renounce our pride. We renounce them. Lord, we repent of our pride. We humble ourselves before you. We come to acknowledge we need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you to speak to me. I need to position myself to hear as well. A couple weeks ago, the Lord says, you know, I speak, but sometimes we are too busy to listen. I speak, but so many other voices is crowding his voice. So many voices. The busyness of life. Children, work, husband. Friends, all these things. Thank you, Lord, that you're reformatting our mind. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence, God. We love you, Father. We bow down. Come. We worship you, Father. You are so good to us. You are so good to this ministry. You are so good, Lord. We are undone before you. Like the lady in John chapter 4, she said, you know what? Well, then why don't you give me some of that water? Because Jesus said, if you know who's talking to you, you would ask him for water, living water. Lord, we thank you for the living water. We thank you that men do not live with bread alone and pizza and apple pies. We thank you, Jesus, that we do not live with mashed potatoes only, but we live from every word from your mouth. And this morning, we are being intentional about crying for the word from your mouth. We need it. I don't know for anybody else, but I need every word from your mouth, Abba. I do. Every word. So speak, Lord, and give us a heart to receive. 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 Give me a heart to receive. Would you pray this? Come on, let's pray this together. Give me a heart to receive, Lord. Just give me a heart to receive. Give me a heart to obey. To obey wholeheartedly. Give me a heart to obey. Ah, thank you, Lord. Give us a heart to obey, Lord. Give us a heart to obey. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I pray. God's people said. Amen. Give us a heart to obey. And I was reading this. Thank you, Alyssa. I was reading Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can open it. I want to thank my brother Robert for ministering the word of the Lord last week. Such a powerful word from the Lord. Thank you, brother. We give God glory. And the fear of the Lord, remember what it is. It is the beginning of wisdom. You know, and you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is knowledge applied. You know what wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge applied. So if you know something, like a wise person wouldn't go up on the roof and pretend they can fly and then jump off the roof. Because then you're wise enough, you know that the law of gravity will kill you. That's wisdom. So the more we apply the knowledge we have of the Lord, the wiser we get. And it says, the word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The beginning. Le commencement. The beginning of wisdom. Such a good word. So this week I want to, of course, continue on the same topic and follow up with where I left you a couple weeks ago in Romans chapter 12, verse 19 and 21. If you open the Bible, this is what it says. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Who wants to receive these words? I mean, I'm reading this, I'm like, all week, I'm like, what? Do I really want to receive this? Because if I don't want to receive it, I'll just let it go by. You know, they always say, you never give advice. You know, the older you get, of course you learn from your mistakes. But if you're getting wiser and older, and you're learning from your past mistakes, you're learning from what lives, you become wise. Right? You see people who are older in age, but so, excuse me the word, stupid. Or kind of dumb. So, because they don't gain knowledge. You know, knowledge is power. When you know, you know. And now, if you use your knowledge, good knowledge, if you use it, you become wise. Amen? Amen. So, who wants to receive these words? You never give advice where it's not being asked. You know, who, once again, another question. Who has authority over your life? Who is speaking in your life? Who is your mentor? In my life, I've got mentors. I've got people, my Timothys, people, you know. And also, I have spiritual sons and daughters. But who in your life can be like, Ricardo, this is what I think. Or who can you call? I don't have the answer. You take that question to the Lord. But who is your authority? Who's your spiritual authority? Who wants to receive I mean, we could start with, and I hear people say, well, Jesus is my spiritual authority. Yeah, I get it. But Jesus established other people. There's a level of, four level of authority. You remember it? God, the Word of God, your conscience, regenerated conscience, born again conscience, and then people, your fathers, spiritual or natural, you know, your mentors. So who wants to receive these words? It says, verse 20, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Who wants to do that? Now, if we all be honest before the Lord, who wants to do that? Do I want to do that? Of course not. Don't pretend you're so spiritual. Do I really want to do that? No. But when I become a new creation, I don't live for my own anymore. So therefore, I read this. I was like, you know what? I receive these words. So if my enemy is hungry, so if I have an opportunity to bless my enemy, what must I do? Bless him. Feed him. If he is thirsty, what must I do? Give him drink. Wow. And it says, by doing so, you know what you're doing? You're burning conviction. You're burning. That's what these words, this whole phrase means. So by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And I don't know if that ever happened to you, where you were mean to somebody, or you were mad at somebody, and they return favor or kindness. Maybe you were never in that position. When they do that, what does that make you feel? In my scenario, or in my marriage, I remember a time years ago, I would be so mean, and she would be so kind. And then I feel like I got burning with conviction. I turn around, I'm like, man, Ricardo, why do you have to be so terrible? But I didn't have the ability to change. The Lord was still working on me. When you turn kindness for anger, the word says, by doing so, you will heap burning coals on those people's head. Let me tell you, it was always like this since Jesus died on the cross. If you really want to be a witness to the gospel, it is so easy. You just die to yourself. Can I have an amen? Because the only thing that prevents people from really being witness to the gospel is ourselves. Think about it. Who can separate us from the love of God? The Bible says no one. Remember this verse. That's such a good verse. The reality of God's wrath. In this verse, verse 19, there are two words I want you to think about. It says, leave it to the one word, wrath of God. A couple weeks ago, I had a definition for the wrath of God. You can put it back on, put that on the screen. It says, the wrath of God is God's settle anger towards sin. We don't like to talk about God being angry. But let me remind you again, God can get angry. And no one wants to encounter the anger of God. Now remember, mercy, help me, Robert, triumph over judgment. Triumph over judgment. Right now, God is not judging anyone. God is not holding anyone pass against them. It is God's love that leading people to repentance. Judgment is coming, people. Listen to me. Judgment is coming. That's why If you really want to serve God, serve God.
Amen. You can't be like Elijah the Lion. Food in the world, food in the gospel. It doesn't work. You can't be devoted to yourself, devoted to God. You have to be fully devoted to something. As a matter of fact, the word says you cannot serve two masters.
I don't know how it works, but those people are the country where the guys have three wives. I don't know how they do that. How do you have two wives? You know what happened? He's not devoted to one or none of them. Because it's impossible. You know? You cannot serve God and serve money, serve your job, serve yourself. It's impossible. God either Lord of all, or be careful, he might not be Lord at all. I want him to be Lord of all. You find the definition? The wrath of God is God's settled anger towards sin expressed in the repayment of suitable vengeance of the guilty sinner. So God's not sending anybody to hell. I want to touch the four characteristics of God's wrath. And there are two words. If you go to my next slide, there are two words. You don't have, I mean, in your Bible studies, you can go and study them and stuff. But just for your information, I put them up there. It's orgy or thermos. So I'm probably butchering it up, but it's fine. I don't speak Hebrew, all right, or Greek. But those two words, they mentioned 100 times in the Bible. And they are, depending on what Bible verses you're using, they are interchangeable. For example, there's a verse in Psalm 61. David's talking like, "Oh Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath." Psalm 90, verse 7, "We are brought to an end by your anger, but your wrath are dismayed." Hosea 13, verse 11, "I give you a king in my anger." Now, something the Israelites, they didn't realize, when they looked around, they're like, well, how come all the nations, they have a king, a person, a physical king? How come we don't have a king? God's like, man, you guys, you don't need a king. You know how terrible that was? They had the King of Kings. And they're like, we don't want the King of Kings, we want the little king. And you know, one thing I love about my Father God, he forces himself on no one. He does not force himself on anybody. He says, I set before you today life and death. What are you choosing? Success is predictable in the Lord as much as failure or, you know, a miserable life is predictable. You know, what do we say? Jeremiah 29:11, one of our favorite verses, right? Says, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future, plan to give you peace." And the enemy's like, "That's right. I also have a plan for you." Guess what the plan is? No future. Kill you as soon as I can. Destroy you as soon as I can. But if I can kill you as soon as I can, I'm going to make your life so miserable. I'm going to suck the life out of you. And yet, what do we see? That's why you and I, we must remain with the same attitude. But for the grace of God. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would probably be like everybody else. Running on empty. Drug addict. Addiction would kill us. Miserable like some are. So we don't try to distinguish, when you read the Bible, those two words, orgy or thumos, because there it is again. God says in Hosea 13:11, "I give you a king in my anger, but I took him away in my wrath." Now remember, what's the definition of wrath? The wrath of God is God's settled anger towards sin. But now, what kind of sin? Unrepented sin. That's why, as long as people are still breathing, there's hope. Nobody wants death to find you in your sin. But the problem is, we don't, this is one appointment we all have, but we don't know when it's happening. You might think, man, you know what? You're young, you're looking good, you're healthy, but I don't know. It's sad to even think about it. Any of us can die anytime. But thank God that death is not the end. I don't have an amen right there, did I? Death is not the end. Precious in the sight of the Lord, the passing of his saint. We are the one that's going to suffer when one of us leaves us, this earth. You know, we are the one. We're like, man, she was so young. You're only 23. What do you think? What are you talking about? A measure of life is not in its duration, Miles Monroe said. You know, the value of a life is not in its duration. You could live 30 years old and your life was so valuable. And yet you see somebody who's like 97, they invest in no one. It never impacted their generation. So when you try to discuss these two words, the closer you study them, you find this. You find this. God's anger, which is thumos, is his passionate fury or rage. His wrath is his settlement against sin. In other words, God's anger, the emphasis falls on the emotional, boiling integrity of it. And God's wrath is the emphasis, when you use God's wrath, the emphasis falls on bringing justice. Even for me, I'm still trying to understand those two words, okay? That's why I say don't let these two words kind of confuse you, because it's just like, it's so fascinating to study about the wrath of God and God's anger, to realize, wow, God is just. God never punishes an innocent. For example, well, let's go in the Bible. Let's look at some example in the Bible. I'm going to choose three of them. The Great Flood. Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. You read those. What happened? The biblical context in those chapters says what? The Lord saw how great wickedness of the human race had become on earth. You remember Noah? And then it says, Noah was the only one blameless on earth. Noah was 500 years old. God told Noah, there's so much wickedness. Preach the gospel. Not only that, but build this big, build ark. While you're doing it, you guys go read those things. You know, Genesis chapter 7, 6, 7, 8, and 9. God give the people 120 years to repent. Some people looked at Noah, he's like, and this guy is like, he lost not only a school, he lost many school up in his head. Why would you go build a big ark on a mountain? And not only that, he had his sons, his family, his wife. And Noah is like, people, repent. Repent of your sin. Turn to God. The wrath of God, judgment is coming. The same message stand today. You hear prophets, teachers, preachers telling people, repent the wrath of God. Don't just be playing church. There's something in the message, I listened to it last week, Robert said, and I'm like, okay, show me someone who knows how to treat people, and I'll show you someone who knows the fear of God. Treat people. Be kind to people. Do you know there's a reputation out there? I actually heard people say it. They would rather deal with an unbeliever than to deal with a Christian. But then we miss in Acts, in the book of Acts, for the first time in Antioch, it wasn't the Christians that labeled themselves as Christ-like. Because the word Christian is someone who is like little Christ. People who a part belongs to the way.
It was people in the world that looked at the disciples and they're like, man, they're Christians, like Christ-like. They become like
my kids are friends with
the audience.
Little.
So we all become Christians.
Now think about this for a moment. Why would people say that? Is your life reflecting the character of Christ? The way you interact with people, the way you conduct your business, let's start it at home, in our marriage. It doesn't matter, you know. Jesus, help us. You know, I had somebody tell me, somebody else told me that, you know, you were talking about this and that. And you were talking about us. I was like, what? What are you talking about? You know, like somebody, I don't have words. I'm speechless. Some of the things I hear. So if you're married and you say you love Jesus, you can't love your spouse like Jesus like loved the spouse. When I say this, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking the gospel. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know, what am I? I'm not talking. Listen, if you're cheating somebody, I don't know your business. Because the Word of God says you shouldn't cheat somebody. I know sometimes when I'm up here, you might feel like I am doing this. Please, I'm not doing this. I'm not judging you. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword, guys. It is a two-edged sword. And I'm devoted to preach the Word of God. Sometimes you might feel like I'm coming at you. I love you. I do. And I want what's right for you. I want you to have a good life here while you're on earth. Be ready for the return of our King. That's why I pray. I said, Lord, please help me. Please remove from me every fear of men. Because I could come here and be like, oh man, I'm afraid to speak. Why? Because you got people being offended everywhere. You know, the Word of God is very offensive. You know, our mirrors. How many times we talk about our mirrors? We love our mirrors, right? But you know how offensive your mirror is? Because sometimes the mirror reveals the reality. You look at it in the mirror, you're like, oh, I don't like what I see. It's not the mirror. It's me that needs to wash my face, get things in order. It's not the mirror. You know, I thank God for mature Christians. And now let me repeat it again. We've been talking about maturity, Christian, you know, spiritual growth. In a family, the goal for the parent is that every child become mature. You remember the first time your child went to the bathroom by himself? Like, you did it! Right? Right. It's like, I mean, you've been looking for that child to go to the bathroom, right? Because that's, you want, that's signs of maturity. They went to the bathroom, and then the next day they had another accident. But there is, the first day, remember that? Remember teaching my kids riding bicycle? You know, you holding them, they're doing it. And remember that one day, Alyssa, I taught her how to ride bicycle when she was two. So smart. You got that little bike. I remember that one day. I have that on video. And one day she just took off by herself, no training wheels. 2 years old on this little bike. I mean, she's just having like a father. I'm just like, yes, she did it, you know? It is God's heart for each of us that we would become mature Christians. You know what mature Christian is? You know something that really blessed me and Kendra. Last month, and I say that's a sign of maturity, and I thank God for that. A couple months ago, we were invited to an event. So the event was like on the 18th of this month, but then we put it on the 18th for the next month, right? So 2 months later, but it was a month later, right? That makes sense? So let's say 18th of May, for example. The event was 18th of May, and then we were supposed to be, we put it on the calendar for 18th of June. It was a month earlier than what I put it on the calendar for. So here we are, we're getting ready for this event. But what happened on the day? We didn't show up. What would most people do? Assume, right? We didn't think about it because our calendar is next month. So here we are the next month. We're getting ready. But then this person, we saw them. They never said anything. They show so much grace. They're like, well, you know, this is what they said. We know you. That's maturity. We know you. We know if you didn't show up, you had a valid reason, and we're looking for the right time to talk about it instead of assuming. So here we are, Kendra and I, getting ready for this event, and then we look at our calendar. It was last month! We missed it. And we felt terrible because that's not the people we are. We want to keep our words. But you know what really blessed us is the level of maturity that we encounter, the grace. I understand, and we were going to talk about it, but we never had a time. God wants us to be mature people. You know, every healthy family talks. And that's one thing I'm finding out. It's not just in Haiti, but a lot of people, they don't want to talk. They don't want to talk about the elephant in the room. But every healthy family talk. And I say here at Restoration, we are a healthy family. We thrive to be a healthy family. So when you study the story of the flood, was God just in his wrath? 120 years he gave the people to repent. What happened? You read the story. You remember the story. Nobody repented. So that's why we said God's wrath is his settled anger towards sin expressed in the repayment of suitable vengeance on the guilty sinner. So if you don't repent for your sin, of your sin, your sin might take you to hell.
Now let's go to the New Testament before I go back to the place. This is what it says. Do you remember this verse in the New Testament? Mark chapter 9, verse 43 and 48. It says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off.
Be careful.
It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot, one of them, causing you to sin, call it off. It is better to enter life lame than 2 feet
to be thrown into hell. If your eyes causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes and be thrown into hell. Where there is worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Guys, just like heaven is real, hell is real. And then don't be like, well, you know, I've been in church for so many years. Be careful. Of course, Jesus is not saying literally go and cut out your arm. But you know what it is? It could be your job. It could be your children. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. And you fill out the blank. It could be whatever is preventing you from fully living out your life for Jesus. Be careful. The wrath of God will come. Be like, God, well, I went on mission trips. Jesus, what are you talking about? I never knew you. Because you were doing your thing. So you only show up in church whenever it's convenient for you. So you think, some people think, I'm going to serve God when it's convenient. Really? What kind of devotion is that? You tell me. Some of other religion,
They require people to pray seven times a day. Five times a day.
So I'm selling this guy a car, and all of a sudden he looked at the sun or whatever, he's watching, he's like, can you give me a minute? I'm like, sure, have a minute. And he opened his back, pulled out a mat, laid down. He was doing his prayer. It was his prayer time in the middle of the day, and he stopped the transaction. To do what? To pray. And I tell you, Christians, we are one of the most undisciplined religious people out there. We serve God when it's convenient. Home group. You know, do I feel like leaving my house to go to home group after a hard day? I don't. But it's good for me. Do I serve God when it's convenient? You know, this is really not convenient right now. But I do it, why? Because I'm devoted. He deserves it all. And I believe there's a lot of us, we need to repent in that. Because we give God our leftovers. We give Him, we do it when it's convenient. What are you talking about? 8 p.m., man? It's my bedtime. But guess what? There's no problem to start a movie at 8:30. There's no problem to be on TV, and there's nothing. I'm not preaching against TV, all right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about devotion. I'm talking about, is God just in His wrath? And that's what I want you to keep in mind. God is always just in His judgment. He will never punish the innocent. So when He sent the flood, He did it because they didn't repent. 120 years. Repent. The great flood. Flood's coming. Noah, he told them. He said, guys, the reason I'm building this boat, it's because there's so many wickedness on earth. And God is like, you know what? I'm done with these people. I repent that I even made them. So, guys, repent, come to God, and then guess what? We can all get into this boat. And when the flood did, they start laughing at Him. What happened? You know what happened. The flood came. Another example. Example of the 10 plague, Exodus chapter 12. So much, we don't have time. You read it, chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. What happened? The plagues were a result of Pharaoh's refusal to let the people go. And what was the act of wrath of God? God brought 7 series of devastating plagues. All the way up to the firstborn of every Egyptian died. Another story. in Genesis chapter 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the cause? God's judgment was brought against extreme wickedness. What was the act of wrath? God rained fire down and sulfur from the sky, destroying the city and everyone in it. What was the outcome? The city were completely destroyed. How about the New Testament? I already give you an example in the New Testament. But think about when Jesus cursed the fig tree. You go and listen to the message Dr. Vic preached a couple months ago. He cursed. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why? Because he went to pick up a fruit. No fruit. What would happen if God would want some fruit in your life today? Would he find the fruit of the Spirit? Or would he find the fruit of the flesh? Moses, oh man, God, why are you so harsh? No. God says, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. But Moses got so, I understood Moses. I get him. Because those people, they said, man, they even say, oh Lord, help us. They said we were better in Egypt. Man, I would smack the rock too. Because it's like, man, I want to choke them. I really want to, man, you people. Yeah. So God says, Moses, you speak to the rock. Moses was so mad. God's like, all right, man, you're not entering the promised land. Guys, let's not miss it. Let's not miss God's blessing. You see, now, you could put that in the future, or you could put that today. God wants you to experience eternal life right now. For the kingdom of God is not a bunch of talk. It's what? Righteousness. Joy and peace. How many people, when they go to church, man, but they're so grumpy, there's no joy. Their life is miserable. There's no joy. We say, what are you thankful for? Man, I am so thankful for peace. I do have worries, but man, I have so much peace. Man, I'm so thankful for joy, man. I got joy. No, we laugh all the time. I have joy. It's not because things are hunky-dory. No, I have stress. I have stress. In my own life, when I have stress, I have boils. It used to be like backache. I don't have that anymore. It used to be when I'm stressed, I had terrible back pain, low back pain. So I think all my inflammations are gone. Now, when I'm stressed, I have boil. So if I tell Kendra, I have a boil coming up, she's like, okay, so now sit down, let's figure out where you're stressed. I like, what? I don't think I'm stressed here. I'm not saying I'm stressed. It's like, oh, yeah, you stressed there. And I had three situations that brought me stress in the recent month. And I took care of them, you know, went to the Lord, and like, bam, just like that, my boil is gone. So our body does respond. You see, sometimes we think, you know, we're not just spiritual. Your physical body responds. You're not just physical. Sorry, you're not just physical people. You're spiritual beings. So your spirit, even positive or negative, affect your physical well-being. Oh, let me finish with this. What shall we say then about the wrath of God at the end? You can put that on the screen, perhaps. We don't have time. Maybe we'll come back later. But if we focus on the wrath of God, this is what we'll find. Number one, the wrath of God will be eternal. The wrath of God will have no end. It will be terrible. It will be deserved. Totally just and right. It will have been escaped. Just like the flood. So people, even now, people can escape the wrath of God. I use Mark chapter 9. Here's another verse in Mark chapter 3. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. What are those things? The wrath of God will be eternal. It will be terrible. It will be deserved. It would have been escaped. And I want you to live your life in the perspective of you need to respect God. You need to fear God. You must fear Him. You know, I don't want to be stupid. I fear God. There are certain things I do. I don't want to do it because of people. I fear God, man. I don't want His judgment. No. I'm going to remain faithful to my wife. I'm going to remain true to the word.
I'm going to remain a man of integrity. Those are choices.
Yes.
Yes. So there are situations I'm not going to put myself in. Why? Because I don't want the wrath of God to fall on me. Even after God was sad giving the Israelite a king, he accepted it.
It's just like the people we have in power will always reflect the people, the majority of the people. So when we vote people in power, unrighteous people, you know, pervert people, people who doesn't support your values, kingdom values, don't start complaining if there's persecution against Christians. So much we could say, but I'm going to stop right there. Because then we can go into the final wrath of God. When Jesus returns. No one wants that. Just close your eyes for a minute. Oh, Lord. We thank you for an increase of the fear of God in our lives. We want you as our King. Lord, we want to do everything we do in the perspective of the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Not fear of men. Not to please people. Because you will hold us accountable for every words and every action. Every words and every action. Father, I thank you for the work you're doing here. Thank you, Jesus. I plant these seeds and I trust your Holy Spirit to make them grow. To make them grow. Let's stand. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may the Lord cause His face and His favor to follow you.
May you be known as God's people. Now as you guys celebrate with your families, some of your family, people going to come to you.
May the peace of Christ rule your homes. May you be wise people to know how to manage every relationship. In the name of Jesus. And you God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you guys. Make it a great day and a great week. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.